The scene opens, and a woman sits alone at a pottery wheel. A record switches on a vintage jukebox in her apartment, and softly the Righteous Brothers' Unchained melody pours into the room. Oh, my love, my darling, I hunger for your touch. Thank you for not making your pastor who can't sing, sing alone. Cuts back to Demi Moore at the pottery wheel just in time for Patrick Swayze to walk in shirtless. The piece she's working on is a tall vase or urn with intricate curves and ribs throughout. Swayze sits behind her and reaches out his hand, and with one touch, he accidentally ruins the entire piece. With that, Moore pulls the clay off the wheel, adds some water, works it in her hands, and places it back on the wheel. We're together, with interlaced clay-covered hands, they begin anew to make another piece of pottery. That is, before they get distracted with other things. I know you probably shouldn't start a sermon talking about the pottery scene in the movie Ghost, that supernatural romance that became a big screen blockbuster, gosh, almost 30 years ago now. But let's be honest, that's the closest most of us have gotten to a potter's wheel, and it's certainly one of the more memorable memories of one. But in our scripture today, Jeremiah's told by God to go to the potter's house, to wait to hear God's voice. And when Jeremiah arrived, the potter is at his wheel working. And much like in the movie Ghost, the clay is spoiled in the potter's hands. I imagine Jeremiah didn't reach out and touch the piece, causing it to spoil like Patrick Swayze did. But perhaps there was too much water on the clay, or too little, or maybe it'd become too thin in a certain part. But instead of throwing out the clay, the potter reworks the piece. This is his livelihood. He definitely isn't throwing away clay because of a flaw. Because potters in Jeremiah's day, they were production potters. Although we would probably still call their work art, they didn't make these pieces for art's sake. They were employed because people needed jugs and bowls in their daily lives. So they may have been beautiful, but these vessels were utilitarian at their core. And in our scripture today, the Lord speaks and says to Jeremiah, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as the potter has done? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand." Or today it might read something more like this: "In the same way that the potter works the clay, I work on you." So we're reminded that God is the potter, that we are the clay. And we just sang about it, and it sounded really sweet and really holy. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. It's a beautiful image. And when I think of God as the potter and us as the clay, I imagine God's hands shaping me, God's hands molding our congregation, shaping our community, shaping the whole people of faith, shaping them in soulful and smooth movement. I imagine us, the clay, yielding to God's hands so that a beautiful piece of art emerges. That's what happens in the hymn we just sang. That's what the scene from Ghosts suggests. But that's not exactly how it goes in the scriptures. Because when we enter the scene, the pot that the potter is working on, it's turned out poorly. That clay has spoiled in his hands, and he has to rework it. Spoiled and reworked. Thinking of these words gets me thinking back on the time that I actually did try my hand at pottery briefly. It wasn't long after I finished college and had the chance to sit behind a pottery wheel myself for the first time and the last time as well. Yes, maybe the only time, but maybe the last. And what I remember most about it was how hard it was, how physically hard the clay was in my hands, how hard it was to decide the right speed for the wheel, how hard it was to manage the clay to keep that glob from flying off the wheel. Let's just say I didn't end up with a finished piece to take home that day. But what I did take home was a new vocabulary. To me, the language that potters use, or at least the language that the potter that I worked with that day used, their language, it seemed so theologically suggestive. Clay gets spoiled, and the potter reworks it. And if it's wonky, yeah, they said that that was the official word. So if the clay gets wonky, the potter has to redeem it. Redeem it. The potter is never sure how the pot's going to turn out. The clay, it talks back to the potter. The clay's passive, but then it has its own life and nature. It can resist the potter's hands. The potter strives to open up the clay. Keeping the clay centered is key. Two hands are required at all times to shape and reshape, begin again and refine. The outside must conform to the inside. The hard clay is a challenge. And so the potter adds water, which made me think of being streaked with tears or marked with baptismal waters. And then the clay gets exhausted. And so it has to be set aside. Patience, time, practice are all required. The potter continues to learn from each and every new pot. And you can't force the clay. You let the wheel do the work, and its force is more pivotal than the hands that are there simply to shape it. Shaping that wonky clay. When we get down to it, aren't we all just a bunch of wonky people? So I guess it's a good thing that God wants to open us up, like that clay being formed into a pitcher, so that there's enough room within us for love, enough room within us for God, enough room within us to serve. God wants to open us up so we can be a vessel for God, so that God can use us for something. But in order to do this, we first have to be centered. Just like the clay must be centered on the pottery wheel so that it doesn't fly off, we too have to be centered around what matters most to us. We have to be grounded in God, rooted in our faith. We need to be in the right condition for God to use us. We have to remember that there's a note of judgment in this text that we can't look over. We have to remember that our own choices matter. Every potter exercises constant judgment. about the condition of the clay, the shape of the emerging work, and then responds accordingly, moistening the mixture here, pressing deeply there, shaping quickly here. For a time, the clay is malleable, pliable. The piece can be mended or recentered as needed. But sometimes the problem, it's beyond fixing, leaving the potter no choice but to scrape the piece off the wheel and to start all over again. But God is determined, out of a love for the world, out of a love for us, to shape communities and people whose distinctive ways of worship and life bear witness to the redemptive power of God. When they don't, the text tells us that communities and people can be broken down. It's an inconvenient but necessary truth for every community of faith to hear. And it doesn't mean that God is going to discard us if we aren't in the right condition. But it does mean that when we feel old and dried up and useless and depressed, are just bone tired and exhausted from whatever life has thrown at us, like we have nothing left to give, it doesn't mean we get thrown out. Because remember, this is the potter's livelihood. This is the potter's business. The potter doesn't throw out clay. It's redeemed. It's reworked. But the reworking process is a messy one. Recognizing that participating in the creative work of God, recognizing that that is messy and risky, it helps us as individuals and as a congregation and as a community when we're in that in-between stage, somewhere between that finished piece and that cold mound of clay. Pottery, it's frustrating. And Jeremiah, he pinpoints that moment when the potter wants to start over from scratch, make the clay into something new and different, because it's so resistant to God's ways. Life can be so frustrating. And there are moments when God wants to start over and make us into something new and different because we are so resistant to God's ways. Because we are so wonky. Because we are so in need of redemption. And it's not just us as individuals, but us as a congregation, us as a community, us as a family of God. And so we envision God up to the elbows, making and remaking. And we recall the God who became clay, that the beloved clay itself might express the potter's own heart and will. And we give thanks. We give thanks that the potter doesn't discard the wonky clay, but instead redeems it, reworks it, fashions us into something practical, and possibly into something beautiful. Mold us and make us, Lord. May we be like you. Amen.